ecclesia, like you said, and yeah, I went to Greece for 6 weeks, from like May 19th to June 30th. So yeah, a little bit about Greece. I'm dying, sorry. Forewarning, like, I just spent time with God, so I might be emotional, so let's just watch out for that. So Greece is kind of a city that's like in need. Right now, they are a very dry place spiritually. There's a lot of religion taking over and rules. Like, no one knows the gospel at all. They are all, like, baptized in the church when they grow up. So they just, like, say they're Christian but have never heard of Jesus before. So they don't know the actual crucial part of it. So that's really sad. And that's, like, in Europe in general. A lot of, like, Orthodoxy church and stuff there. And yeah, and they're also in a financial crisis, so there's like no hope there. Everyone's like trying to leave basically and go somewhere else once they get out of college. And yeah, and what we did was we went on campus every day and shared or tried to share the gospel and initiate conversations with people from like 11 to 4 basically. And yeah, next slide. Okay, this is my team. There was 11 of us. We are a very odd group. If you knew any of us, we do not mix at all. But there is no conflict, so praise the Lord. And on the right is my girls that I stayed with. On the left, is that the left? Your left? Maybe. Brittany, she literally had a nosebleed every day for the first 2 weeks of the trip. It was rough, truly. It happened on campus while we were sharing. It's okay. And on the right, all the way to the right, is my battle buddy, Alexis. So we would go on campus together and share. And she's a godsend because we balance each other out really well. I am very straight to the point and share the gospel immediately when that's sometimes not needed for people. So we like, she's really relational, so we would like balance it out. She'll like talk about stuff when I'm like, let's get to the point, but you know, it's okay. And it worked well all the time. And yeah, next slide. Okay, so challenges. The main one I faced was my race. I am Black, as you can see. And I am also the only Black one on my team and the only Black person in Greece. So it was rough. They don't like me, was not prepared for that really. You know, I'm pretty great, it's okay. But on the streets, like every single day, I would get called names and ridiculed and different things like that. And it was rough just because like my team really couldn't support me in that area because they don't know. They would just be like, oh, I'm sorry, and it would move on. And so that'd be like probably the only way that my team failed me. So it was a little rough, but I got to lean on the Lord in that area for him to fulfill that instead of looking for people to do that and walk with him in that area and get reminded of like, I still have a purpose. I made, like, he's literally a thoughtful creator and he didn't make a mistake and things like that. And yeah, next slide. Okay, so on the left is a girl named Faye that we got to meet. We met her literally the last day on campus. I hate campus, by the way. I'll just skip that. I did not like going to campus every day. It was the worst. It was hot. There was only one campus, so you just walk in circles all day trying to find people. But we met her on the last day. And she has like extreme social anxiety. Didn't know this at first, but she literally had like a sore on her lip from just anxiety. Like, she just like hates talking to people, everything like that, but she was willing to talk to us. We were talking to her, and like Alexis is doing her thing, being relational, and the Lord's like, share the gospel, and I'm like, there's no segue basically, but so I just kind of was like, can I tell you what I believe, and cut Alexis off, and she was like, okay. But we got to share the gospel with her in that conversation, and she was like just confuddled, basically. She was like, I've never heard this before. She was really shook by, like, eternal life being, like, just relationship with God, like, something that can start now. It's not something to be achieved, basically, by your works, and that eternal death, basically, just is hell. It's separation from God. She had never heard that distinction. She always thought it had to be, like, what she did. And so that was really cool, and we got to meet up with her again and share the gospel like seven different times, seven different ways. And another conversation, she didn't wind up accepting Christ, but she believes what we said. One thing stopping her was that she had never had a choice, basically, to choose God. It was always stuffed down her throat in that area. So she just really like wanted to make that choice, which was frustrating, but it's okay. The Lord's good. And on the right is a lot of our Greek friends. We would have something called coffee time every Friday, and invite a bunch of Greek students to it. And they, like, are amazing because, majority of them in that picture are Christians, and they're, like, 17 and 18 and, like, love the Lord, and there's not a lot of actually Christian people in Greece who are living out their faith. And, like, the Lord handed us to them on the silver platter, like, 3 weeks in and said to care for them, and that's what we got to do. And they're, like, our besties by the end of it. And, yeah. Next slide. Okay, so takeaway, I got to get baptized while I was there. I got baptized in Corinth. And one thing I took away from that is, like, understanding Faye when she said she needed to have her own choice to accept God. And, like, for me, like, I feel like I grew up in church and didn't really, like, I literally grew up here, fetus, you know, and didn't get to really, like, I never knew really what a relationship with God looked like, and I finally got to make that choice 3 years ago. And so for me to be able to, like, make that public proclamation of my faith meant a lot, and so I could understand what, like, why she wanted to make a choice, basically. So some prayer requests, because it's going to be rough coming up. It's my last semester of college. I graduate in December. I need prayer for decisions, basically. And I have some girls I disciple right now, and I want to leave them well and give them what they need to continue to go on in their walks. And lastly, I'll be applying to intern with Crew after I graduate in North Carolina, so I'll be moving from everything. I grew up here, so that will be, and I have to support raise my salary, so that's going to be great. So the help there will be awesome. And yeah, thank y'all for supporting me.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Tim Miles. So obviously I'm not preaching today or this morning. We really are going to share kind of an update of what the Lord's been doing through campus outreach and through y'all's partnership. But I figured if I'm going to get up here, I need to share the word, right? And so I'm going to read this verse from Ephesians chapter 3. And talk about it for a second before we get into this update. And so Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 14, it says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen." And so, when it talks about verse 14, it talks about "for this reason." And "for this reason" is talking about chapters 1 and 2. Chapter 1, "for this reason," is all that God has done, right? You cannot read chapter 1 of Ephesians and think that it's anything about anything that we've done, right? It talks about how God has chosen us, how before the foundation of the world, he predestined us to be holy and blameless. Right, how he's lavished his love upon us and how he's called us his children. And then in chapter 2, it kind of reiterates that. It talks about the gospel, and it says, as we sung, that we were dead in our sins. Right? We were dead in our trespasses. Because of us, we were dead. We were separated from Christ. We were separated from him. But God, right? But God made us alive. Right? And it says, by grace you have been saved through faith. And it's not your own doing. Not a result of work, so no one can boast, right? So it's not about us. And then going on further, it talks about how he brings us into a new community. Because of Christ, he's broken down this wall of hostility between Jews and Gentiles, right? And now we're part of his family. And then it gets to this. And so I share that because my hope is that as we give an update of what the Lord is doing, it would be, you would hear that and say, man, this is just a continuation of what God is already doing, right? Of what he's already started. And so that's what our prayer is. And that you would even hear this and you would start to pray and you would ask God to do far more abundantly than what we can even imagine. Not just through campus outreach, but through your lives as well. And so I just wanted to start with that, and let me pray. God, thank you for today. Thank you for Christ, that he is unchanging. God, I thank you that we don't have to, we can't, that we don't have to work for it, and we can't work for a relationship with you, that by Christ dying on the cross, he did it all. He paid the price. And so we who are enemies, we get to be in relationship. And so, God, I just pray as we share what you're doing through Campus Outreach and through each one of us personally, that we would be excited about Christ and excited about what he's doing, and that would push us forward to love and good works. And so I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Want to kind of give a picture and kind of our connection, or my connection to Grace Community Church. So I came and spoke here alongside Emmanuel about 3 years ago. And so 3 years ago, we had our oldest, Timothy, the one in the middle, and Alexander. I don't know if I told y'all, but that he was going through, he was getting eye surgery. And so he's doing well. The surgery went great, but he's growing. So Timothy's 4, Alexander is about to turn 3, and then we had a baby girl, Eliana. And so that's been great. And so y'all have prayed for me and my family, and obviously given to the ministry for the past 5 years. And so that's the first connection. The second connection is, so our oldest son, Timothy, he goes to Veritas Christian Academy, and most of y'all know Zach Villafuerte, the youth pastor here. He works at Veritas. And so I met Zach. We were talking, and I was telling him about the ministry and what I did. And he said, hey, we have a youth retreat coming up at my church. I would love for you to consider teaching at it. And so I was like, yeah. I was thinking about it. I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. And he sends me an email, and it said, Zach Villafuerte, youth pastor at Grace Community Church. I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And so just to see that connection, that the same way y'all have supported and poured into us, I get to do the same for y'all's kids. And so for all y'all youth here, November, I'll see y'all there, right? And so if your kid's not going, push them to go. Hopefully it'll be good. But anyways, that's kind of the connection. That was pretty cool. But Campus Outreach, so just to talk about what we're doing on the campus, one of the things that we've seen in light of college students is that you see a lot of students who are overexposed just to life and having a lot of information, but they're underdeveloped, right? They're underdeveloped. And what we've seen come from that is we've seen a lot of unrest. You see depression. You see addictions. You see just really a dissatisfaction, a discontentment with life. And so when I think about myself, my freshman year of college, that was me. I came into college, I was not a Christian. I came in to play basketball. And so for me, I thought, hey, I have the world figured out, right? As an 18-year-old, like I have the world figured out. And quickly I saw that all the things I was running to, it was empty. And there was a sense of unrest there. There was a sense of, I don't know where I'm going with my life. But what we believe is that when the gospel comes in, right, the gospel comes in and it brings peace and it brings purpose, right? Peace because those of us who were far off from Christ, who were enemies to God, because of Christ, we can have a relationship with him, right? So it brings peace. But then it brings purpose. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it talks about, for we are his workmanship, right? Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in it. And so for me, as a college student, when I heard the gospel and when I received the gospel, when Christ changed my life and changed my heart, it wasn't just, hey, you're saved now. Go figure out life, right? He said, I've created you for good works. I've created you so that you would know me and make me known, okay? And that you would change. And that's what we want to see happen in the lives of students on our college campuses. And so our mission is we want to glorify God by building laborers on the campus for the lost world. And so how we see that happen is our strategy. So strategy of campus outreach. We feel like God is raising up teams and raising up people, staff to go on our campuses, to go on these campuses. Right now we're at Houston Baptist University, University of Houston, Stephen F. Austin, and Sam Houston State University. So we're at those four colleges. And we believe that God is calling a team to go impact different parts of the campus. A couple years ago, I kept referring to fraternities and sororities as Greeks, right? And so a couple of people got confused, and so we're not like Kalesia. She's actually reaching actual Greek people. When I say Greeks, I'm talking about fraternities and sororities on campus. And so we want to go into the fraternities and sororities and student organizations. We want to go into the athletic teams. Like me, I was a basketball player. Like Emmanuel and Thomas, they were soccer. Thomas is still a soccer player. We want to go into the dorms, and we want to share our faith. And so we want to go into these places. And as we share our faith, we are trusting that God would raise up disciples, followers of Jesus, people that are willing, that are saying, I want to make any sacrifice to order my life around Christ. Right? They would say, I want to make any sacrifice to order my life around Christ. And as that happens, we're trusting that these disciples will go do ministry. That not only would they say, I want to make any sacrifice to order my life around Christ, they would say, I want to make any sacrifice to see someone else order their life around following Christ. And so from that, you see ministries happen. You see people reaching people on their sports teams, in their fraternities, in their sororities, in their dorms. And from that, hopefully, you see movements happen on the campus. And you see groups of people coming together and saying, how can I reach the campus for Christ? Graduating and saying, how can I reach where God is sending me to for Christ? And so that's our prayer. That's our strategy. And so our vision, we're saying if this happens, what we see is that we want to reach the world for Christ by mobilizing or sending out multi-ethnic laborers from these campuses. All right. And so I think that's one of the things that's pretty unique with Houston is how diverse it is. And being able to see multi-ethnic leaders sent out is a huge goal of ours. And so, and as that happens, we want to multiply. And so kind of big picture, we want to see multiplication happen. And so these little dots are different regions where we're at. So I was in Georgia, right? So Berry College, a small private school in North Georgia, came to Christ through Campus Outreach Birmingham, which is kind of weird because Berry is not in Alabama. But we got sent out here to Houston about 7 years ago. And we want to see multiplication continue to happen. And so that's kind of big picture strategy. What I want to talk about is really, or what I want to bring Emmanuel and Thomas up here is really to talk about their multiplication story. Kind of as you see those dots, to turn those dots into actual people. Does that make sense? And so we're going to bring up Emmanuel and Thomas. They can just share about their story.
Good morning. Or afternoon. I don't really know what time it is. But it's good to be with y'all this morning. My name's Emmanuel Ubadinobi. Like Tim said, I was born in Nigeria. Moved to Houston in 2005. I was 11 around that time. And so you can kind of do the math and see how old I am right now. But yeah, I'm 15 right now. I'll tell you a little bit about me, my story, how I came to faith. So grew up in Nigeria. My parents are believers. Dad is a pastor, priest in the Anglican church. And so I grew up in the church. Grew up going to church 2, sometimes 3 times a week. Grew up, parents made us read the Bible daily. And so My favorite part about church was when I got to leave, because it was boring to me when I was little. I didn't really wasn't trying to be there. They made us read the Bible. The Bible to me has some cool stories, but really wasn't having any impact on me, right? I was just reading it because they made me read. And so kind of fast forward. Actually, don't fast forward yet. So I grew up around the church, in the church. I was super afraid of going to hell. Yeah, I was super afraid of going to hell. And so I was a good kid, right? Didn't really do anything too bad, right, in the eyes of the world. You know, I'll say one of the worst things I did was stay after school and play soccer and get my uniform dirty. That really got under the skin of my parents. But so, you know, I was, you know, trying to keep up this thing because I was so afraid of hell. And so kind of fast forward, 2005, we moved here. 2011, at this point, I was a junior in high school. And my cousin, they came over here for college. And so he was like, man, your life doesn't really match up with your profession of faith. And so, you know, at first I was like, man, who are you to tell me this? But it wasn't God after that. He really showed me. So Jesus in the New Testament, he calls the Pharisees whitewashed tombs, right? So look good on the outside, beautiful. But inside is a dead body, all right, rotten. And so God, through that, God really showed me that was me, right? That was me. Isaiah 64:6 says that your righteous deeds are like filthy rags. And so my attempts to say, God, to present all my good works, God, I'm not a bad kid, or I'm not a bad person, right? All my good works, this is why I deserve to go to heaven and not hell. Right? Isaiah 64:6, filthy rags, right? Worthless. And so that was when I really saw my need for Jesus. That's when I became a Christian. And so came to Christ, went off to college. I went to a school in Pittsburgh, Duquesne University, if any of y'all know where that is. nice. I went there for a year and a half. I was on a soccer team, and then transferred after a year and a half to Houston Baptist University on the soccer team over there. That's when I got involved with Campus Outreach. I started getting discipled by a guy named Tyler Clark. Started getting discipled by him. Was growing in my faith, and then started sharing my faith. Started sharing the gospel with guys on the team. And so, at this point, I was basically the only one walking with Jesus on the team. And so, you know, whatever you can imagine, a typical team dynamic is, that's what it was. And so really, God keeping me sharing my faith, saw a bunch of guys come to Christ on the soccer team, and then started slowly seeing the team being saturated with the gospel, and those guys going after other guys on the team with the gospel. I mean, so that was really cool to see. And so I graduated in 2016, and got an opportunity to come on staff with Campus Outreach, and so now I'm on staff with Campus Outreach at Houston Baptist University and University of Houston, and so one of my kind of vision for going on staff, kind of why I came on staff, is a couple of reasons. I think the college years are so strategic. They're super important because in college is kind of the first time a student is kind of away from family, right? And so that sense of independence, you know, I'm away from my family, I can do whatever I want to do. And so we just see students coming in, right? And man, I can't wait to really them looking for life and joy and satisfaction in the party scene and alcohol, in achieving in the classroom, in achieving on the field, on the court, right? looking for joy and satisfaction in this future spouse that they will find in college, looking for joy and satisfaction in this future job and this this amount of money they're going to make when they graduate, right? And so they just put all their hope in that, right? And that's what they're chasing and chasing after. And to be able to come in to the midst of that and tell them about Jesus, right, who is our only hope, right, who is in him that we can find joy and satisfaction in life, to come in and be able to share that with them and see them come to know him, fall in love with him, that just changes the trajectory of not just their life, but like a whole generation, right? And so these are the same people who will go back to their sports teams, to the fraternities and sororities, to the classrooms, to their dorms, and who will share the gospel, that same gospel with other students in those areas, right? They're the same people who will graduate and get a job, right, and work as coaches, as nurses, as engineers, as teachers, and who will be able to have an impact with their with their coworkers, right, with the gospel. And so these are the same people who will graduate and who will get married and have children and be able to disciple their children. Right? So it just has a far-reaching impact than just a college campus. And so it's so cool to be able to see that and witness that and be a part of that. And so I was doing ministry at HBU on the soccer team. About a year ago, Thomas transferred into HBU, played soccer. We got to know each other, became friends, and then I got the opportunity to lead him in our evangelistic Bible study. It's called Reinvestigating Jesus, and so it's a 4-week study, really lays out the gospel. Misconceptions about Christianity, about following Jesus, who we are, right, who God is, and how we have a relationship with him. And so got to really walk through that with him, and I'll kind of let Thomas take over from here.
Hello. So I'll start from the beginning. Back in 1998, I grew up going to church, raised in a Lutheran church. I was baptized when I was a baby, confirmed in middle school, and so I thought because I went to church that made me a Christian. And so basically it looked like me doing good, at home, being obedient to my parents, not doing too bad of things at school, but basically just trying to prove to God that I was worthy of spending the rest of eternity with him. And so along with that, I was also, still am a soccer player, going into my senior year at Houston Baptist, but my identity has always been in soccer. I've been playing since I was 5 years old. Yeah, so it's 16 years. And so people in high school knew me as a soccer player. And so, like Emmanuel said, I transferred into Houston Baptist. I was at Wake Forest for a year and a half. And I went there looking for life in the game. And so I was there, like God gifted us with 2 championships and the whole time I rode the bench. And as an athlete, like that's the worst thing ever. So I thought, man, I'm gonna move back home, go to Houston Baptist and maybe play, and then I'll be fulfilled. So I did that. I moved back to Houston. Started and played every game as soon as I got to HBU. But there was just still like something missing in my life. And so about that time I met Emmanuel. And so that was my first semester at HBU. And so we became friends, and then, I guess it was last fall, he walked me through a Bible study, just basically shared the gospel with me, and in that, like, God just revealed to me my brokenness, just like how severe my sins were, and like I always knew that I needed Jesus, but I never knew why. And so my whole life, like, I've been working to try to make myself right with God, just to, by doing good things, thinking I could reconcile myself to him. And then just seeing, like, Jesus paid the penalty for my sins on the cross, like, justify me by his grace, just because of his love for me. And so, yeah, in October, I accepted Christ as my Savior and Lord. And then since then, Emmanuel's been discipling me, giving me tools to go and share this faith that I have, this joy, this fulfillment, this treasure that I have with guys on my team, with guys on other sports teams, guys I go to class with. And so what that's looked like is being discomforted, I guess is the word. Yeah, just getting out of my comfort zone, sharing my faith with guys who either are like, what's up? Like, why are you kind of a weirdo about this, about Jesus? Like, a Jesus freak, like facing rejection, but just like laboring for the Lord, and seeing the fruit of that. And then this summer, we spent 9 weeks in Galveston with Campus Outreach in a discipleship program, just being taught how to take this life, this abundant life that we found in Christ, and share that with other people. And so I've seen a few guys on my team come to Christ this past semester, two guys on the track team, Josh and Steve, and then just seeing like God and take root in their hearts, and like with Josh, just him taking this love for Jesus and sharing that with other guys. And so basically just been motivated by seeing guys in the same place I was, like looking for joy, looking for life in places where you're not gonna find it, like whether it's sports, whether it's girls, whether it's academics, whether it's parties, but just seeing that like true abundant life is found in following Jesus.
Appreciate it. Y'all's giving and prayers empowers that. But kind of as we close, kind of on a general basis, when you think about Campus Outreach, want to share these five things for y'all's giving and prayer impact. And so, number one, your giving helps serve unreached student groups. And so our goal was in 2020, we wanted to give 10,000 students an opportunity to hear the gospel. And so that's happened. The Lord has done that. And so that's been cool to see that happen on our four campuses, to see the students given an opportunity to hear about Jesus. And so that's pretty a big deal to me. That's exciting, getting to share our faith, share the gospel in some way with that many students. That's our staff team. That's kind of an old picture, but that's kind of our staff team. Always changing, but growing as well. Number two, it equips student leaders to be disciple makers. And so from these 10,000 students that we've reached or that we've given the opportunity to hear the gospel, our goal is to see 220 of them be equipped disciple makers. And so when we talk about equipped disciple makers, these are people that know how to walk with Jesus, so they know how to study the word. They know how to pray. They see a need for the local church, for fellowship, and they know how to share their faith, right? And so we're trusting that God will raise up that many students. And so students like Thomas, right? Students like Emmanuel was in that number. And so that's pretty cool to see God raise up equipped disciple makers, people that will go into different industries and come into churches and come into communities and say, I want to make an impact for Christ. I want to know Jesus and make him known where I'm at. And so that's pretty cool. Number three, it's given us the opportunity to raise up multi-ethnic leaders. So 36% of these equipped disciple makers are minorities. That's a big deal. If you think about, if you know anything about college ministries, is a lot of minorities aren't involved in the typical college ministries that we know of. And so to see 36%, over a third of the students involved in our continuing with campus outreach be minorities, that's huge. And so from that number, it's allowed us to 18 different ethnic groups in our leadership pipeline. So that's pretty awesome. Just to see not just the diversity that we talk about. So it's good to highlight diversity in Houston on our campuses. But if we're not going out reaching people different than us, then what does it matter? And so what we've seen the Lord do is God has really given us relationships and put us in front of people of different ethnicities. And actually, there, as I'm looking, there's a couple more that's not on there. And so so that's really encouraging to see that happen. And from these groups, and so you're seeing, like Emmanuel talked about, Matthew 28, you're seeing nations, all peoples being reached. And hopefully that will continue to grow. And so from that, your giving empowers our minority staff. And so to see eight minority staff, and to see that continue to grow is really awesome. And to see people resourced to go on campus to go make disciples of all nations is amazing. And so, obviously, that's me and my family. Andre LaRuma, who was a part of our ministry at U of H. Abby Azua, she's going on staff at U of H. Lenny Dominguez is support raising. Martin and Kayla Azua. Abby is his sister. You got Emmanuel and then his fiance, Julie Nguyen, so she's at U of H. And then Cameron Risby is also on staff. And so that's pretty awesome to see just the Lord from the ministries see diversity on our team. We're praying that will continue to grow. And then the last thing, like I said before, we want to build laborers on the college campus, not for the college campus, but for the lost world, right? And so we want to see students that hear the gospel, that come to Christ, that get discipled, that get equipped to go into the world. And so kind of the four tracks that we have is obviously on staff with Campus Outreach, but we want to see them go into the marketplace and do ministry among their coworkers. We want to see them, some of them have a heart to go in inner city ministry. And so we're praying the Lord will send out more students, more graduates to go do that. And then we want to see more students sent out to the nations. We sent a couple years ago and went to Mexico. And a girl from Sam Houston, Logan, she's been in South Africa for a year. And so we're praying that the Lord would continue to grow that and give us opportunities to see that happen. And so hopefully campuses that we can get to. But what is our continued prayer? And so kind of as I close, this is a prayer. I would love for y'all to pray this for us, but we want to pray this for y'all as well. And so 2 Timothy 2:2 says, "And what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who are able to teach others also." And so what Paul is talking about is that the gospel that you've heard from me, what I've taught you, entrust to people who are faithful, right? The faithful people who are able to teach others also. And so we want to see multiplication happen. So if you're seeing that, you're seeing four generations. You're seeing Paul talking to Timothy, saying, entrust this to faithful men who are able to teach others. And so we want to see that continue to happen. We want stories of Emmanuel and Thomas and Josh to continue to happen all over our campuses. And then the second thing, Psalm 22:30-31, it says, "Posterity shall serve him, and it shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it." And so our prayer is like Emmanuel was even talking about, is that the gospel that we're proclaiming to students will go far beyond anything we can imagine. Like in my case, me hearing the gospel, I could have never imagined that to see my three kids and be able to have an opportunity to share the gospel with them and to pray that the Lord would multiply that beyond me. And we want to see that happen on our college campuses, that people would come and they would hear the gospel, they would be transformed by it, and generations would be changed by the gospel, by what the Lord has done on the college campus. And so we want to pray that for y'all, that you would take the gospel and say, man, what does it mean for me? Have I accepted Christ? And if I have, man, that means that I need to walk with him. I need to know him. I need to make him known. And praying that that would continue to the third and fourth generation, right? And so I'm going to pray kind of to close our time. I think y'all are supposed to stand with me. So I'm going to pray, and then we can be dismissed. Lord, God, you are good. God, you are faithful, even when we are not. God, you pursued us when we ran away. God, and we thank you for your grace that we're saved. God, we thank you for the grace that we're pushed forward to continue to love and good works. God, and we pray that you would keep us, God. And so I just pray as we leave here, as we've heard about all the stuff that you have done, that each one of us would be spurred on to knowing you more and to making you known wherever you have us. God, I thank you for Grace Community Church. I thank you for their prayers. I thank you for their generosity. I pray it will continue, that you will multiply it, not just through campus outreach, but through all the ministries that they're partnering with. I pray you will multiply that generosity, not just through the church as a whole, but through individuals in this church, that they would say, how can I serve? That coming and just giving tithes wouldn't just be enough. And so, Lord, I just pray for these things. Pray for the rest of our day that it would be glorifying to you, and that we have conversations that's glorifying to you. And I pray this in your son's name.